So a couple things. One, this is the end of my time for speaking. Done this last month. It's been great. And I am leaving you with a cliffhanger because I'm doing 1 John chapter 4, but I'm not doing 1 John chapter 5. So either I'll follow up sometime in the future, probably next summer, or you can actually read it. It's in the Bible. Great little book. And I encourage you guys to do that. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about. So I've argued back and forth with folks in the past on what the role of a pastor is. And in my mindset, the role of a pastor is to just journey alongside believers and non-believers and pointing them towards God. All the while doing my own journey at the same time. I'm not a priest, so I'm not like, you can't come to me and I got like this special line to God and you got the same one. And that's the beauty of it. And so the responsibilities that we read about in here and that I'll be talking about aren't just on me or on other pastors. They're on anybody who calls himself a believer. And I actually love this chapter that we're going to be reading today. So the other piece, and I will have you guys pray up in a second here, is so you guys heard from Rob as he went through his arrow journey, which I thought was awesome, and he incorporate some of the things he was learning into our Sunday mornings, which is great. Well, I happen to be going through school right now, too. I'm doing my master's degree through Rochester College, and you guys are going to have to suffer through that with me, because this week, the challenge that we got, we're doing a course on pneumatology, or the Holy Spirit, and so the challenge was every night before I go to bed to be praying specifically to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and interject and change course if need be. And that's what happened for this morning. So I had a message prepared, and then the Holy Spirit made it clear that there was another message I was supposed to give. Same chapter, but so there you go. That's where we're going today. So I really need you to pray up right now. So what I try to do, whenever we're coming to speak, and this is part of the piece, is that as we're here together right now, even though I'm the guy talking, we're all here. And we all are in the presence of God, and we're all, this is a form of worship right now. And so what I'm asking you to do is take a couple minutes and just spend some time with God. And then after that, I'm going to get going. And so just quietly take a couple minutes and give this time to him. Amen. My beloved friends, let's continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. She was about 15 years old and just kind of starting off in high school and really trying to find her way. And you know, she was a kind of a geek growing up, and she wanted to burn that image. And so she started going to the parties and doing all this stuff. And one night she met this guy, and he was, you know, senior, grade 12, super cool. And they ended up spending the night together. She found out a few weeks later that she was pregnant. She didn't know how to break it to her parents. She was the youngest in the family, and she was the baby, you know. A little spoiled, a little kind of loved by everybody else. And some of her siblings were actually married and having children at that time, and she didn't know how to break this to her mom and dad. They'd grown up in the church, and she knew that they weren't going to react so well. But it wasn't something she could hide, and she decided not to have an abortion. And so she went to them and just said, "Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant." They weren't the happiest in the world, but they knew that there was nothing that they could really do about it. And they're at a crossroads. Do we just love our daughter through this? Do we kick her out? She broke all the rules we had. What they ended up doing was she actually went away to school and went away to live with some family for a while. And she went through a pregnancy she came to the point where she decided, you know what? And pressured from them, I'm going to give this baby up for adoption. But I'm going to create a list. And it's going to be such an impossible list to fill. They're never going to find a family that will fit this list. And it was long. It was this long list that she filled out. And she went, finally came back about with a month left. And she went into labor. She gave birth to the baby. And they still hadn't found a family that fit the list. They came and put the baby on her chest. She held him for a little bit. And they took the baby away. And they said, "We found somebody that matches your list on day 2. Because she was a person of conviction, she said, "Well, if I make this list and only God could fill this list," she signed off on the paperwork. And on day 3, that baby went to its new home. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. They were in their 30s, and they had a son. He was born with special needs, and immediately after that, she'd had a miscarriage before that, and she had her tubes tied, and so she couldn't have any more kids. But as their son grew older, they realized they really wanted to have a sibling, a brother or sister for him, and so they entered into this adoption process. They didn't really think anything was going to happen. I mean, they were in their 30s, they were professionals, they were working really hard, but this was kind of the last opportunity. And so one day, all of a sudden, they get this phone call. "You can pick up your child tomorrow." And they said, "What?" Well, there was a young girl, and she gave birth to a baby, and you guys matched this long list of criteria that they had. And she goes, "Well, okay. And so we'll be there." They went in, and their son, who was 8 years old, the nurse asked him if he would come in and carry the baby out to his parents. So he went back there and picked up the little baby, and they're like, this is your little brother. And he got to carry him out and hand him to his mom and dad. It was a powerful moment for all of them. I mean, this is their family now. But the next while was somewhat tough. You see, she couldn't comfort the child. She'd hold him next to her and he'd pull away. And she wanted to, with her first son, attached immediately. And he was just there and he went in, but constantly this baby would just cry and cry and cry and yank away and just want to go on its own. And he hadn't heard these voices before. He didn't understand this place. He didn't feel at home yet. I mean, that's what they thought. He was this tiny little thing. But she just kept going and going and going. One day she was actually walking along the street, and she stopped at the corner, and this nice lady looked at her and looked at the child and said, "Well, he obviously looks like his father." And she said, "Well, I don't know who the father is," so and just walked off. It was these moments of humor and trying to cope with it they had to have, because they didn't understand why this child wasn't accepting them. See, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love, love, and be loved. First we were loved, and now we love, because He loved us first. They raise up this child in a Christian home, and never kind of, always wondering whatever happened to the girl, but never really knowing. And they decided from the get-go they were going to talk to him about it and let him know his past and somewhat all of that they knew where he came from. And they progressed on and they just loved, and eventually they formed that bond where nobody could ever tell the difference if he was adopted or if he was not. That young girl, she ended up coming back to school afterwards, and there was all the rumors of what had gone on. And her closest friends knew that she'd given birth to a baby, but most of the school did not. She went back a little bit into that lifestyle, but just kind of dipping her feet in. And then she met a young man who heard her story but just didn't care. He'd fallen in love. And so right out of high school, they got married. And they went off to college together. While there, they were just finishing up school, and she became pregnant, and she just cried and cried and cried. She didn't know quite how to handle this. She was mourning the loss, but celebrating the gain. They ended up having two beautiful girls. And they were raising them and kind of going about life. And then when their daughters were just becoming teenagers, she ended up going on a missions trip with one of her daughters to Chicago, to the inner city, to help out with some kids. And when they got back, there was a phone call. And when she heard the phone call, she recognized the voice, because it was her dad's voice. But her dad had already passed away. So she called back and said, "Yes, I know who you are, and I'd love to meet you." So about 13 years ago, I walked into Olive Garden, and I sat down. Sorry. And I looked at my birth mom for the first time. Two women love me so much. Because God loved them. Because God loved them. That's part of my story. And that is a God-orchestrated story, and I will believe that until my dying day. Some could look at that story, and they could focus on how I came to be. And they could guilt, and they could shame. And some did. Some people told my parents who raised me, you guys are crazy. You're taking in an infant when you're like 36 and 35, and you're going to put your careers on hold. You're going to become a stay-at-home mom. You already have a son with special needs. How do you know that this one doesn't have it? Well, if he's not attaching to you, why don't you just give him back? You know, can't you just, is there, why didn't you just foster instead? If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother and sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. The reason I share this story this morning, I actually was not going to. But yesterday, I all of a sudden got a message from a friend who's a, she's actually a missionary. And they've adopted kids, and they've come back, and some of them have special needs. And she was just relaying to me the comments that were coming at them, even from professionals, essentially slamming them for taking in and taking on some of these kids. Kids who they love so much. And they, yeah, they open up their home to them, but God always intended for them to be there. It's their family. And on my drive in this morning, I stopped real quick. And I ran into this because I saw this 18-year-old girl that was one of my daughter's best friends. And I'd heard rumors that she was pregnant. So I pulled over and said, hey, how you doing? And she knows a lot of the folks I work with, so she goes, oh, I'm guessing you heard I'm pregnant. I said, well, I heard a rumor. She says, well, I am. And I said, so what's going on? What are you doing with that? She says, well, I'm keeping it. He wants to have an abortion, but I don't believe in that. I said, well, have you seen your doctor? Did you get your prenatals? You know. They're like, well, if you need somebody to talk to, I go, I can't really help you on that department, but Heidi would probably love to sit down and talk to you about it. She said to me, she said, thanks. If we really believe this passage, that God is love, then it should 100% affect how we interact with each other and with the world that surrounds us. The Bible is true. The laws are true, and they're real. The commandments are there. But even in this room, we disagree on some of the interpretations of those. Except for one. And when Jesus was asked over and over again, what is the greatest commandment? It was to love. That's our rule. We're not judge and jury. We're not qualified for it. God is. Let he who is without the first sin cast the first stone. Don't know about you, but I ain't throwing nothing. None of us have figured out the parenting thing perfectly. And the only way I can tell you is I can ask any of your children. And mine. When you're not around. Yeah, that look. Okay, I can say it, yeah. My mom, when she met my birth mom for the first time, Nat was alive. Manny wasn't. Was Manny here yet?
Yeah, mom was pregnant with Charlie.
Okay, somewhere in there. I think she was pregnant with Manny, but Nat was definitely, I think it was Nat that was alive. And so my mom had a special bond with me, but she had a really special bond with Prince Nat over here. That's what we called him when he'd go over to her house. I won't give all the stories, trust me. That'll be for later. But my mom goes and she sits down with my birth mom and starts off nice, thanking her for making the decision she made and giving her me. And then she said this. You can have my son, but you can't have my grandkids. Right? Because, and she kind of meant it. Because she wasn't perfect either. And she was still struggling through this, and she was worried that she was going to lose me and the kids and all that. And she passed away, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now. And even up to the end, though, she sent me a message. I had preached on something else. And she totally didn't get what I was speaking on. But she said, you know, this from your message, this is what I was challenged with. At that point, I think she was 7 years old. I'm 7 years old, and I still can love people. And I still can reach out to people. And God's putting people in my life that I need to be there for. I can't give up yet. I'll keep it simple. Your challenge this week, my challenge this week, is to just show love to somebody. I'm not talking about buy them something, give them a gift, that kind of thing. I'm talking about put the phone down, sit there and be with somebody who needs you to be with them. For some of you that are going back to school, this might be looking for that one person who's sitting off in the corner by themselves and nobody's connecting with them. If you're in the workplace, it might be that person that bugs you the most and that just gets you right there. Just showing them a little extra patience. And maybe trying to think of what might be behind those actions. That's it. I pray that someday, as our kids are telling their stories about us, that they'll remember that they were loved. And that that's why they have learned and love others. Amen. All right. Speaking of a guy that I can say I truly love and care about, Greg is going to come up and he's going to read us a little something. You need a mic, don't you?
Yeah. Thank you, Corey.
Yep.
So I got some words to share, and I don't think I get very far through it. You're supposed to be my backup guy. Today, I'm not sure if you can. If you don't mind, that'd be good, though. I'll try it.
So, I'll read four. So, pretend I have Greg's voice. I must be truthful, I really don't know what to say. I mean, I know what I want to say, but I'm not really sure how to say it. So I guess I'll start here. Crossroads, you're a very unique group of individuals. I'm not alone with this observation, actually. Rob and I have often talked about this community, your authenticity, your willing and serving hearts, and even your humor. It's exactly the kind of community that welcomed myself and my newly expanded family of eight to consider serving. At the first in a part-time role in the role of Director of Youth Ministries. It was over 8 years ago now that we adopted our three youngest children. It was about the same time I was approached by Rob asking if I might consider taking on my current role. Diane and I were walking in faith and making some major decisions, and we felt God's hand was on us through this time. We recognized immediately this amazing opportunity to serve, and together we chose to invest our time and efforts to shepherd the youth in our church. These past 7-plus years of ministry have been saturated with rich experiences. It has been the source of countless incredible friendships as well as awesome experiences and challenges alike. In fact, the wall of my office is wallpapered with group and individual pictures from highlights of our time spent together. God has blessed me richly through the opportunity to serve here. Given the nature of my time here and all the great times we've shared together, I need you all to know that it most definitely has not been an easy decision for me and my family to come to. But this past Friday, August 31st, I submitted my letter of resignation to the Crossroads leadership team. As of September 1st, 2018, the Crossroads leadership team accepted that resignation, and I'll remain on staff here for the next 2 weeks before setting out in a new direction. I need you to know that I love this church and you, its members. During my time here, I've had the incredible opportunity to be mentored by our lead pastor, Rob Ayer. Rob's patience for my unstructured and fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants nature, coupled with his passion for God and his desire to always continue to learn, has influenced me and changed me forever. I'm also so thankful for our office staff, Shirley, Barb, Lynn, Jackie, Aaron, Christy, and those that came before them as well. I'm going to miss as well our volunteer custodians, Rob and Sherry Savory, and our weekly, bi-weekly coffee break at the office. Of my 44 years of life experience, Crossroads has been by far the most fun place to work. I mean, we get stuff done, but do we ever have a good time doing it? Our LT members, both current and past, have always supported my ministry and generously provided for me so that I could effectively minister the youth at Crossroads. Recently, I've had the joy of overseeing the young adults, a real privilege, as they've impressed me with their desire to dive directly into the Word and to serve and be in community with each other with consistency. I'm certain that I'm biased, however, because this group consists greatly of my graduated youth and my young adult youth leaders. I've been known to talk up my youth leaders to others, but my experience is that few youth pastors have the good fortune that I've had to work with such a great group of individuals. I refer to both those that are serving this year as well as those that have served in the past. I'm honored by the fact that you guys return faithfully year after year, put up with my somewhat organized leadership, and that you choose to invest your free time to serve others, to be examples to our youth, and to live your lives with integrity. You reflect God's love by being you and by creating a safe place for the youth to ask questions and grow in spiritual maturity. Not to be forgotten are the supportive parents of our youth. Thank you for entrusting your youth to my care and leadership. You guys are the foundation of your children's spiritual growth. We just look to come alongside you in support of what you're already doing. I know that the reason we have such a great group is the direct result of the investment that you put in your children. This leaves me with the youth. Sorry, guys, but I didn't think that it would be this hard to let go. I've loved every moment I've spent with you. You guys have surprised me with your candor, your honesty, your knowledge, and your faith in his abilities. I think that one of the biggest challenges of being in ministry is also one of the biggest gifts in ministry. Namely, I've always looked at each of you as extended family. To me, this is a gift because what better way to spend your time with family? 6 years of trips to Mexico with mountaintop worship experiences and oceanside baptisms. February weekend road trips to Rush and Kelowna. Some of you might still remember traveling in a vintage Greyhound bus in a blizzard and the five-hour roadside experiences that happened when the engine breathed its last breath and left us stranded in Boston Bar. And I think they're sitting right over there. Sunrise hikes up Siam at 2 a.m. in the morning, or night hikes up Mount Tom to pray for the city, to backyard worship times in Rider Lake, cutting veggies in at the Gleaners in Abbotsford, or the hundreds of one-to-one conversations had over sushi, coffee, Coke or fries over the years. This past year, I've really enjoyed our times on Sunday morning, hearing testimonies, sharing prayer requests, and digging into Scripture to see how it speaks to our everyday lives. I say a challenge because just like a parent watches over and has concerns for his own children, I feel the same responsibility as I invested time and resources in an effort to lead you closer to the awesome God I know. I know this, though. I'm not your father. God has that position. Almost 8 years ago, it was through my acting in faith that I was placed in leadership here at Crossroads. This divine arrangement was made by him and definitely not my doing. That same God has a plan. Just as he is calling me into a new direction, God has a plan for this group. His love for you is so much greater than mine. You're in good hands, and I look forward to seeing where God will lead this group and who might step up and lead you on a journey that will reveal more of God's nature to you. I'm excited to share with you what's next for the Dirksen family. Having a larger family at times can have its challenges, and I've felt for some time that I need to be around more for family and to focus on finishing strong with my commitment to my kids. It is out of that desire that I've decided to take a position at Camp Kuanos on Vancouver Island. I got meat going in your bum. Last week, we confirmed the sale of our home, and our offer was accepted on a home in a small community of Crofton, BC. It's not small anymore. That might have been ad-libbed. This home is located just 1.5 kilometers from my new place of employment. When does this happen? Pretty quickly. It needs to be so that we can get our kids in school as soon as possible. A little over 2 weeks from now, on September 21st, two moving trucks will leave this town with all our earthly belongings in them, destined for our new Vancouver Island home. My position at the camp will be more of a servant leadership role. I'll be leading new construction and camp maintenance projects, as well as serving wherever needed over the summer camp ministry season. Our family will get the benefit of growing up immersed in this rich camp atmosphere. Although we are sad to leave behind this incredible community of faith, we know we're stepping into another one that will continue to embrace our family and support us as we invest ourselves in support of the ministry at Kuanos. I've likely had Corey talk for too long here this morning, but I've also not even come close to sharing enough, for I don't think I have enough words to share my gratitudes for the way that we have been supported during our time here. Although I will likely be very busy these next couple weeks preparing to leave, I also definitely want to connect with as many of you as I can before I go. I'd value the opportunity to share with you what God is up to in our lives. I'll end this time with yet another quote from Bob Goff, one that greatly influenced my decision to set out on this journey. Every day God invites us on the same kind of adventure. It's not a trip where he sends us a rigid itinerary. He simply invites us. God asks what it is he's made us to love, what it is that captures our attention, what feeds that deep, indescribable need of our souls to experience the richness of the world he made. And then leaning over us, he whispers, "Let's go do that together." My family have been invited on a new adventure, and I'm convinced that we have God's blessing. In fact, when I'm alone with God, it's like I can almost hear him whispering in my ear, "Let's do this together." Thank you, Crossroads, for everything. Greg and Diana Dirksen.